Everyone in Austin, Texas has a crazy sexual story about Texas state governor and former Republican presidential candidate, Rick Perry. People of all political affiliations hate this guy, so there's a lot of pressure to come up with dirt on him even before he ran strong his anti-gay campaign ad, which became YouTube's most hated video.
Joining us is talk show host Stephen Rice, who has been anchoring Outcast Austin, KOOP's local community LGBT radio program, for over 3 years. Listen as we talk about Austin's diverse LGBT community, and Stephen shares his thoughts on the stories, truths, and myths on Texas's notorious governor, Rick Perry.
Plus, find out the ultimate crime Willem did to get unceremoniously kicked off of this season's RuPaul's Drag Race.
And Madonna keeps her upcoming show in St. Petersburg and joins the fight for gay rights in Russia.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Here is an ad that ran in a local newspaper just recently. Have you ever had sex with Rick Perry? Are you a stripper, an escort, or just a young hottie impressed by an arrogant, entitled governor of Texas? Contact Cash, and we will help you publicize your direct dealings with a Christian buzzword-sprouting, family values, hypocrite, and fraud. The Committee Against Sexual Hypocrisy, or Cash, Robert Morrow, Cash's president. So this man, and if you do have a story, you can write to him, familyvalueshypocrite@gmail.com. Went on our friend, Stephen Rice, who is the kind of the anchor for the local community radio station, KOOP's LGBT program, Outcast Austin, for more than 3 years now, right?
Absolutely.
And so Stephen's on today's show to sort of walk us through the myths and legends of Texas Governor Rick Perry and his possibly crazy drug-fueled bisexual sex world.
What a way to start it off.
Well, let's start at the beginning, because I had, from what I understand, when he first started political office, that his campaign poster was him in Wrangler jeans.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Where he was, like, totally stuffed.
Yeah, and I remember that. I was in college at the time. I'm dating myself. But I was in college at the time, and they had these TV...
A freshman, yeah.
Yeah, I was a freshman. I was in my dorm room. I remember it very clearly, because Rick Perry was a very handsome man about 25 years ago, and even more handsome when he was younger, mm-hmm. Very rugged Marlboro man looking kind of guy. And he was running for we have the most powerful agency in the state of Texas called the Railroad Commission, which controls all the oil and gas. And he was running for the Railroad Commission, and he mm-hmm. was pretty young. And he had this campaign ad where he was standing there with a big belt buckle and the tight, you know, Wranglers with this big bulge. And back before the internet and blogs mm-hmm. and all that sort of thing, like, the word went out that he had stuffed some gym socks in there. That was the rumor.
Isn't that, like, that's kind of an unfair thing to accuse Rick Perry of, because everybody knows that when you take a photo of a bulge in photography, you stuff it. Because real men's penises are never going to be as big as people think they are.
Well, I don't know which men you're hanging out with.
Some men are going to be bigger. But, like, rumors later surfaced, though, that he had, from hookers that he had hooked up with, that his penis was actually, in fact, quite small and described as very ugly.
According to the book that we were about to discuss, that is indeed the rumor.
A small and ugly penis. I don't know what qualifies as an ugly penis, but I guess you know it when you see it.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, or in the mouth in this case.
Yeah.
So you recently interviewed Libertarian Republican Robert Morrow, who put the ad in the local newspaper. And he seemed to you like he was on the fringe, on the edge. He's a Republican who claims he voted for him many times, and now he sees him as a hypocrite and wants to destroy his political career by pointing out that he's a slut and a coke whore. Which, will it destroy his career or just reinforce it? Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy is a bona fide Republican. He was a delegate to the state Republican convention, and I think he might have even gone to the national Republican convention as a Texas state delegate. So this
Dan Savage goes to the Republican convention too.
No, not as a delegate.
Oh, okay. As a delegate.
Yeah, this guy was a big time Republican, and he got disillusioned with Rick Perry, and then he started supporting Ron Paul. And so he placed this ad in the weekly newspaper here, the Alternative Weekly, full-page ad that you just read asking for dirt on Rick Perry.
Did he get any?
He claims he did. He claims he did. I didn't see.
But he never heard of it since, like, nothing's boiled from this.
But he told you stories of, like, female hookers and strippers, right?
And he was actively soliciting closeted gay men to come out and tell their stories, too.
Because there's a lot of them here in Texas, aren't there?
Can I get an amen around here for Ron Paul and RuPaul?
How do you guys deal with
everything's, everything's bigger in Texas, even our closets.
And so, I mean, what came of this interview? Because you were kind of like, you were pretty good about, you know, kind of keeping your distance from this guy because he seemed like he was on the fringe. But now for us, when we go out into bars and into the community here in Austin, every single person has a Rick Perry story. Everyone does.
I heard he used to hang out at this bar. I used to hear that he picked tricks up in this park. So it's like, what's real?
He's
what's
a cunnilingus top. He's a cunnilingus bottom. You know, you can't say that on broadcast, but you can say it on our podcast.
We don't get to say that on FM. That is true.
Although that's what Rihanna calls herself.
When we were on the TV, on your radio program the other day, we could say penis, and you could also say mouth, but you couldn't talk about a penis being inside of a mouth.
Exactly. Exactly.
Very tricky. Yeah.
We were talking about an erotic art show where they have a penis project where artists decorate penises, and we can talk about that. We just can't say that you put those in any part of your body.
Well, because the joke went, it's like the guy said, oh, so there's this painting, and it's a bowl of fruit, and if you look at it long enough, you'll see that there's a penis in the middle of the bowl of fruit. And I just jumped in and said, I see a penis everywhere.
And then I said, especially in your mouth. And I don't know if they bleeped it or it just goes silent or what happened.
The look on your face is, I was like, as soon as Mark said it, I went, oh, Mark. Well, I'm the one who puts my foot in the mouth.
I think I actually shook my finger at you across the
board. Well, you guys all had said, like, you know, luscious lips and penis and mouth and all sorts of words.
We could say all that. We just can't say them together.
And then Chase is like, you can't be graphic. I don't know how to be anything other than being graphic.
I just got to be me. Yeah.
I admire the latitude that you guys have as podcasters because you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Well, that's what's called freedom of speech, darling.
Yeah, I know. And we have an FCC license. Yeah. And so we are very, very regulated by the federal government. And they have huge fines. And we're, this rinky-dink little radio station. So
isn't it like usually conservative groups are, because local community radio tends to be more progressive-minded. And a lot of these community conservative groups, and especially, Mitt Romney's Clear Channel, who Mitt Romney owns most of the radio stations in the world.
Which is why he won't criticize Rush Limbaugh for being a big fat.
Because he makes money for him.
Oh, yeah. A lot of money for him.
And so, you guys are always under constant scrutiny for saying one little word out of place to shut down the whole operation. And so it's a serious thing. Like if, Mark's delightfully irreverent.
Hilarious.
It was
comment.
Edited out.
But you guys do get to hit the skip button.
Yeah, we have a dump button, and it's the big red button right on the board.
So you like smash it. Every time they're on the show, it's like a nuclear holocaust.
It's like we're doing Morse code. So our 1 hour show ends up being 4 minutes.
Does it skip? Does it skip forward or does the audience hear a silence?
What it does is every time you hit it, it goes back 10 seconds and deletes that 10 seconds. Okay. So you can delete up to 40 seconds.
Interesting.
So that conversation would have been like, I see penises everywhere, and then probably I got skipped and maybe some of what Faust
and then there was
skipped.
Probably something like me going, anyway, so as has I'm shaking my finger at you across the board.
So let's get back to
Rick
Perry.
So has there inadvertently ever been a situation where you hit the skip button and the edit made it sound dirtier than what it really was?
No.
Okay.
Ever.
So back to Rick Perry.
Okay.
So you also interviewed not only this guy that put the ad out, but also the gentleman that wrote the book, right?
Let's talk more about this guy and what a nut job he was.
Okay.
Okay, so he comes on there, and, speaking of the restrictions that we have as an FM station, he comes on, and he's got all these stories about Rick Perry being too coked up to have some prostitute blow him and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, this is a family radio station. We can't talk like this. So you have to kind of clean that up. And he did a reasonably good job of doing it. But he was so out in left field and had such wild accusations that, you know, we just basically had to treat the guy like he was straight out of the state mental hospital, you know, and, you know, just
is Rick Perry being all cooked up and having sex with prostitutes really a wild allegation? It feels to me that that kind of stuff happens every day.
I know, but Rick Perry goes and rents out Reliant Stadium in Houston with 100,000 of his closest evangelical friends and prays for rain when Texas is having the worst drought.
I heard 10,000 people showed up.
Exactly. You're right. You're absolutely right. But they promoted it as filling the stadium.
Holly, the only time it ever rains around Rick Perry is a stripper club. Make it rain, baby.
Actually, it's more like snow.
It snows and it rains.
Mendacity, that's what they call it.
Okay, so I'm wondering if all this, you know, for lack of a better word, urban legend or notoriety surrounding Rick Perry is people in Texas just coping with a very corrupt, homophobic, hateful, poor quality, lackluster performing governor they've had for 8 years now.
Actually, it's been longer than that. It's been 12 years because
he's a three-term.
He came in after Bush left, right?
When Bush left to run for president, or actually, you know, buy the presidency through the Supreme Court, Rick Perry was the lieutenant governor, and according to the Texas Constitution, he became governor. So he served half of Bush's term, and then has been reelected for some unknown reason by the people of the state of Texas twice. And so he's the longest serving governor in the history of the state of Texas.
Are you kidding me? Really?
I wish I was.
Nobody's ever served more than two terms. Wow. Amazing. Do you think he'll get it run again?
Well, you know, he tried to be president.
Yeah. That didn't go so well.
There were three reasons he couldn't do that. Let's see. The first one was he was stupid. And the second one is he couldn't count to three. And the third one, oops.
It was that anti-gay ad.
It was strong, really, that I thought.
You know, the beauty,
put the nail on his career.
The beauty of that debate performance was that it showcased to the Republican voters what we all know here in Texas, that this guy is just a hairdo with a suit and a belt buckle. Mm-hmm. And when he got up there and tried to list those three agencies he was going to shut down, he was like, you know, commerce,
did he ever name what they were?
Well, he named two, it was like energy, commerce, and the beauty of it was the third one that he couldn't remember was education.
Oh my God!
Which just made his point, since he's been slashing, you know, state funding for not only women's health care and education and all this other stuff, and giving, you know, huge tax breaks to his millionaire backers. But the fact that he couldn't even remember a list of three items, and the third being the Department of Education, made his point perfectly.
And if you went to college here like I did, and talked to some of the college students today, you know, life at the University of Texas has changed dramatically. And actually, it's a lot of students are going to community colleges just because they can't afford it anymore.
Yeah, it's gotten so expensive, and that, you know, they've slashed, you know, grants and state funding, and the tuition just goes up every year. Even though, like, the University of Texas, where you went, has an enormous endowment from all these West Texas oil fields. They've got tremendous amounts of money, but they still have to keep raising tuition. So now, it's probably, you know, just for tuition, not including books and room and board, probably over $20,000 a year now.
Shocking.
I know.
That's shocking.
For public education.
So it makes people, like, sort of even question the value of an education.
I know. If unless you have wealthy parents of means, or you have means yourself, you're going to graduate with minimum $80,000 in student loans. So you're starting out in this giant debt hole.
And from my recollection, my annual cost to go to UT, I think, was about $1,600.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is in not even a generation. That was just in 19 something.
That's one generation.
99 and a half. Right?
99. It was recently, very recently. So, you know, I mean, it's, obviously Republicans have declared war on education. And so don't ask them to fix your VCR. Mm-mm. Or fix a computer or defragment your hard drive. Chances are they'll just pour holy water over it. Where does this leave us with Rick Perry, though? It's like, you know, it seems like here we are in, you know, Texas, Central Texas especially, is one of the most growing tech industry cities in the regions in the country. It's almost like rivaled to
Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley, yeah.
Yeah, they were known as the Silicon Valley of the Southwest.
And that was thanks to Governor Ann Richards, who helped to bring a lot of computer companies, including Dell Computers.
Exactly. Well, Dell started here.
Yeah.
Dell went.
But it wouldn't have started here had it not been for policies that she implemented.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. She was very, she had a lot of foresight in regard to technology. And she and the former Speaker of the Texas House, a guy named Bob Bullock, there's a giant museum named after him.
Jim Bob Bullock. No, this is a different one.
No, his name was Bob Bullock.
Bob Bullock.
And he was the most powerful man in the state when Ann Richards was governor, and they made a tech-friendly environment for companies like AMD and Applied Materials and IBM and Intel. And
a lot of people don't realize, actually, that Apple's iTunes mostly is run out of Central Texas.
Right. Yeah, we have Apple just announced that they're going to add 3,600 jobs here in Austin. Yeah.
And no thanks to Rick Perry.
I'm loath to defend Rick Perry, but I will say that his policies have been so pro-business that he hasn't run anyone off. So, you know, it's meanwhile, he's cutting services for poor people, women, you know, anybody who needs any assistance from the government. But he's, you know, creating these tax policies that make it very beneficial for these giant corporations to come here. And in turn, of course, they give giant campaign contributions to him. And it's a, you know, self-feeding loop.
And, you know, they want small government, large prisons.
Exactly. And the prisons are giant business because most of the prisons in Texas are private prisons.
Mm. Let's contrast the guy that you interviewed, Robert Marr, with the gentleman who wrote the book on
Glenn Maxey.
Glenn Maxey.
Yeah, Glenn Maxey was the first openly gay elected representative in the Texas legislature.
And that's no small feat.
No, because this was 1990. This was before Ellen. This was before Queer as Folk. This is before Will and Grace.
I read about that in a history book. I wasn't born then. But I remember photoshopping myself into pictures at his inauguration that was there.
But so this was a huge, huge deal. And so he is, he's a legend. And he served in the Texas legislature with Rick Perry. He used to go campaign down at the gay bars here in Austin. His district was in Austin. He was encouraged to run by Ann Richards. And it was a really big deal. And so we had finally a voice in the Texas legislature. And let me just stress that he was the first openly gay legislator, sure, because there's tons of closeted gay legislators in Texas. And as far as I know right now, we don't have any openly gay legislators right now.
Wow.
Glenn Maxey currently isn't serving.
No, he does not serve anymore. He's an author, activist, historian, lecturer.
And so he took it upon himself to clear the story and wrote the book Head Figurehead, The Search for the Hidden Life of Rick Perry.
Yeah, so he went and he interviewed all these people that claimed to have personal knowledge with their experience with Rick Perry or you know, something, you know, like he vetted each one of these people.
This happened after Robert Morrow's ad ran in the newspaper or before?
Yes, he was working on this with the Huffington Post. Back when last summer, when Rick Perry was just kind of, you know, floating the idea of running,
putting his twinkle toe in the water.
Yeah, exactly. He hadn't declared, but you know, the Republican Party was in such disarray. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd been supporting Donald Trump, and he fizzled out. And then, you know, they were Michelle Bachmann was popular there for a little while. And so they were looking for someone to come in on a white horse and save the day. And they had, you know, this handsome, rugged-looking Marlboro Man governor of the state of Texas who had a solid conservative track record.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought, oh, this guy's going to be it. And so Glenn Maxey started working with the Huffington Post, and they did all this research and got up to the point where they were going to publish it. And according to Glenn, the lawyers at the Huffington Post put the kibosh on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Rick Perry so famously just, you know, was shot down by his own idiocy in the debates. And so the Huffington Post was like, well, now we're not even going to mess with it anymore because
so this book has not seen the light of day.
Oh yes,
no, it's published. Okay.
It's self-published.
Yeah,
and so we'll post a link to the ebook if you're more interested in finding out about Rick Perry's delightfully wild and raucous sex drug orgies.
I had heard that the author said that you know Huffington Post was very interested in, and it went all the way to Ariana, and Ariana, after it was bought by AOL, said, no, we're not going to run it.
Yeah, I think the AOL lawyers are probably the ones who were...
But like pre-AOL, they probably would have run it.
Yeah, if it was Ariana calling the shots, I bet they would have.
I think Ariana did call the shots, but they put a dump truck full of money in front of her and said, now will this change your mind?
Do you guys remember, her husband was gay.
Oh, yeah, Michael.
She was married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know him personally.
I have
not. You slept with him.
No, I have not. Unfortunately, he's a very wealthy man. And if you're listening, Michael, I'm available.
just don't tell your boyfriend.
For a small fee.
For a small fee, everything's free.
Do you guys remember when Rick Perry ran that homophobic ad wearing the broke back?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Strong.
It's the strong ad.
It is the most hated video on the internet as of this date. Justin Bieber's technically is hated, but also equally liked.
Mm-hmm.
So even Justin Bieber's
the unlikes.
Yes, the disliked button has been clicked more for Justin Bieber's video. But baby.
That's got to be really terrible for your self-esteem to have like your video hated that much.
It's the most hated thing on the internet, according to some internet historians, I overheard at a cocktail party.
Well, right after he came out with that ad and this book came out that Glenn Maxey wrote, Wonkhead did this piece on it, and this is one of the funniest things I have seen on the internet about this entire situation. Can I read it to you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Wonkhead writes, Bible humper bozo Barbie Rick Perry has been annoying everyone lately with his truly awful attempts to prove to the Jesus people contingent that he deserves to rule the country for his Tex-ass tough talk on gays in the military. So it's fitting and timely that openly gay former Texas legislator Glenn Maxey, a Democrat who we say in air quotes openly, has just released a hilarious new book form collection of the many sword rumors indicating that Rick Perry may just be the most monstrously self-loathing closeted old queen in America.
Can I get an amen around here, girl?
I hope Rick doesn't get laid anymore.
I love Wonka.
Listen, you know, gay men in general and women, horny people, are going to throw anyone under the bus for a good night of fun and sex, you know? And that's the thing about it is, if you're a hypocrite when it comes to sex, then you're always going to have a place to sleep. But when it comes to other things, maybe that gravy train will end. Where do you see Rick Perry's political career from here?
Well, you know, there is some talk of him being on the ticket as a VP.
No way.
Who would be the top?
I guess. They all say it's going to be Mitt.
Mitt Romney on top. Rick Perry at the bottom, he's used to that.
Although, I don't know, they just, like, you know, on the front page of, like, Huffington Post today when we're taping this, is they're talking about how one of his senior advisors says, it doesn't matter what his opinions were, like, in the beginning. It's, you know, it's like an Etch-a-Sketch. We'll just shake it and then rewrite it for the fall campaign.
Well, that's the beauty of Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney has been on every side of every issue. I mean, and my favorite example is when he takes both sides of the gay marriage issue in one sentence. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm for a state's rights to choose whether or not they allow gay marriage. That's why I support a federal marriage amendment to keep gay marriage from happening. So in one sentence, he's taken both sides of the issue, state's rights and a federal marriage amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
It looks like it's the front runners are him and Santorum.
I know.
Freaking Santorum. I can't believe it. So maybe he'll pick him as his running mate.
Oh, that would be divine.
They could make love, sweet love in the White House.
Mormon and a Catholic. All those Southern Protestants must be going nuts, though, huh?
You can hear all those moderate women just stampeding over to the Obama camp right now, just with the thought of him. I mean, the guy is against, not only is he against gay marriage and gay rights and abortion, now he's against contraception for everyone. He wants a theocracy. Yeah, he
wants everybody.
Yeah, he wants to outlaw pornography. Okay.
You will not touch my porn. Pry it from my cold dead
hands.
And
what happens if you are turned on by Rick Perry and you masturbate to videos of him? Is he breaking that law?
Mm. Oh, yes, doubly. He's breaking all kinds of laws.
You cover, you're sort of the ground central for the gay and lesbian community here in Austin, the LGBT community, and there's a lot been controversy in recent years about your pride celebration. I always think of it as like, listen, if you can have more than one gay pride parade, why not do it? And so there was a, can you explain to me like the controversy of Queer Bomb and then the Austin Pride Parade and their sort of corporate sponsorship, sort of excluding more fringe groups or colorful, quirky groups?
Well, the Austin Pride Parade is just over a decade old.
Okay.
And it started out, and it's sponsored by the Austin Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce, at least it was originally. And so as part of that, there were a lot of large corporations that had a big presence there. So like HEB, which is the giant grocery store chain here, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, Dell Computers, you know, big names like that would have big floats in it. And so even though it is perfectly legal in Travis County for women to go topless, they wouldn't allow women to be topless. And so, you know, that
because, you know, the chicks love to put, you know, electrical tape on their nipples and walk down the street for a gay pride parade.
Sometimes they
do. In most cities in the country.
Sometimes they do. But yeah. So basically it kind of started with some friction like that, you know. And so they were like, oh, so you want us to all wear button downs and khakis and all look like we work for, you know, corporate America as we go down. And so it kind of, the schism started to develop. Mm-hmm. And then three years ago, a new person came and totally revamped the Austin Pride celebration and completely changed it from what it had been from the previous 9 or so years. And so a large contingent of what I would call the Q part of the LGBTQ community said, you know what, let's just go do our own thing at the same time. And so they broke off and started Queer Bomb. And it's like, you know, wear what you want, do what you want, you know, act how you want, be whatever you want to be, let your freak flag fly, express yourself, do whatever you want. And it's much more like what a gay pride parade.
It's a refreshing.
Traditionally was.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a refreshing change of pace from the Do What We Say festival, which was started by German settlers.
Exactly.
But now it's do what you feel and you know, express yourself and Vogue and.
But
so
I mean,
so
not that the Austin Pride Parade is, you know, totally buttoned down, but, you know, there's, you know, Austin's official motto is Keep Austin Weird. And so you had, you know, all these rules, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you must do this, you must do that, you know, you'd have to do these things. And so a bunch of people said, you know what, we're going to go do our own thing. And the thing about it is Queer Bomb started off, you know, they thought, oh, we'll have a few hundred people. They had thousands of people. And then the next year it was 4 times bigger. And then I'm sure this year it will be even bigger.
So which is more popular, the Austin Pride or Queer Bomb?
Queer Bomb is catching up to the Austin Pride Parade.
Awesome.
But let me just say that the old guard of the AGLCC, which is the Chamber of Commerce, is back in charge now. And they're making changes that are extremely, they started this last year and they embraced Queer Bomb and, you know, marched in Queer Bomb and tried to bring some unity back to the community. And so I'm really proud of that because, you know, even though we've got the, let's call it, you know, the traditional Austin Pride, we've got the Queer Bomb, pride, and they're getting along together, they're working together, and so the community is coming
and
back
why,
together.
And why not have more than one pride celebration? You know, in Chicago we have, you know, we have Halsted Street Market Days, which is almost like a pride event because it's in the heart of the gay district. Then we also have, you know, our pride parade, and then they also have a pride fest before that. And then the African Americans have like a Windy City Black Pride event as well.
Don't forget the lesbian dyke march on the south side of Chicago too.
Or wherever they move it. I hope it comes back to Andersonville. I miss it being in Andersonville.
I liked having those smelly dykes in my backyard. Mm-hmm. And all respect to the ladies there. Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't this like a frustrating? BuzzFeed just started like a feminist or a women's only section.
They did?
And they're calling it like shift.
Muffied.
And they're saying, we banned the use of the word ladies. And I'm like, what are you, stuck in 1960s feminism? Ridiculous.
What?
Yeah. They're just like started a thing and they're all like,
I don't know. BuzzFeed is on my shit list after
they
seeing them on
shitty,
that panel.
They are shitty, shitty,
we went and saw them on a panel and they're talking about what does the internet find funny. And the consensus of this panel was people find what's funny on the internet is reading about television shows. And they just went
our
on and on about that. About our advertisers, television shows.
Okay, I'm willing to bet, you know, a dollar. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of money, but I'll bet a dollar that, I don't know, people like kitten videos and baby videos more than they like, you know, watching reruns of, you know.
Well, that's why Hollywood's pooping in its pants. It's, it's because, you know, pooping in your pants actually is more popular than the shows they have.
I made boom boom. It's
like, and so, you know, I don't know.
But, you know, we love talking about television shows.
I listen, you know, I talk about everything. But the thing when someone asks me what is the most popular thing on the internet, I said it changes just like the mood of the nation changes. And right now, I mean, the numbers are there. Young men don't own cable television bills. They're not going to
they're not going to get that audience. Yeah.
But a lot of TV producers or like production companies like World of Wonder have been really smart about taking their projects and making them available online. And that's where the lion's share and the money is coming from. And so RuPaul's Drag Race, which is kind of an industry unto itself, is always generating hype because of the fact that it creates so much internet friendly content that is not locked behind some firewall somewhere. Mm.
Now, on the most recent, we talked about this on the show, on your show the other day, about what we call Willem Gate, whereas Willem, who was on RuPaul's Drag Race in this last episode, he actually won the challenge, but then because he violated several rules, he was let go after puking on the stage, which was kind of like a kind of weird.
Well, it was a phenomenon that he was so anxious because he had been cheating, doing the ultimate crime that the show's producers and RuPaul's said, you need to sashay away.
Because all the girls break some of the rules. And so they were kind of clear, like, you broke too many of the rules.
You broke all the rules.
Because you're not supposed to have any contact. And from what I've understood and from, like, combing the internet and trolling forums and finding different things, and it seems like the things that keep kind of coming up, and also from unnamed sources, is that the girls, they're not supposed to have any contact with the outside world. But they actually do at the hotel. They use the pay phones in the front lobby, and they do a phone watch. So somebody's on the phone and the other people watch to make sure, and everybody gets a turn to call their loved ones. Because, I mean, you're gone for 6 to 10 weeks. It's going to be hard to get away from that.
People think Sharon Needles on this program revealed why Willem
just say Willem.
Off.
It's his goddamn name.
I want to say with a German,
well,
Willem.
Well, because nobody knows.
But Willem, why he got kicked off, she didn't say anything. But it went viral on Twitter anyways, and everybody was like going, I heard it. You know, you just got to listen to her whispering in parts of the show. So it's like Beatles backmasking.
I don't know. It might be there. I'll have to go back and listen. Now,
other people, hold on, before you go on to that. Now, the unofficial excuse that's going on Twitter is because Willem was collaborating with RuPaul's producer, Revolution.
Music producer
behind her back without RuPaul's
blessing.
And that is the ultimate crime that you
can
commit.
Is that like worse than sleeping with your man? I fucked your man.
It's sleeping with your man.
I used your record producer.
And she probably had sex with Revolution too. I mean, he's totally hot. He's like a surfer little stud.
Hide your wives, hide your children, hide your record producers. They're raping everyone.
But Mark finally found the truth the truth.
The alleged truth.
The alleged truth behind the reason why Willem got kicked off.
Okay, so the girls from RuPaul's Drag Race, when they get on the show, they are picked up at the airport. Or if they live in Los Angeles, they're picked up at their house. Well, when they picked up Willem at his house, his boyfriend was home, and he followed the car taking Willem to the hotel. And so they never really broke that kind of contact. And from what I understand is that Willem had a computer. His boyfriend brought him a computer, and he was using it to do stuff online, which is a total no-no. Well, eventually the computer turned up missing, so he it's stolen by the room service or something. And so William went down to the front desk to complain, and so he kind of tipped his hand at that point in time that he had a computer that was stolen.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like she was getting wigs, snuck in cakes, or no. Something like that.
But I had also heard that too. That there was. Things that were just kind of like just showing up, like clothes that he didn't have, shoes that he didn't have. So they also say that maybe the boyfriend was smuggling him things.
Wow.
And, you know, that'll get you thrown off because even like I think it was on Project Runway. One of the person had some kind of like design sketches with them and they were let go. They're like, I'm sorry. You know, you're not allowed to have that stuff. You know, you're not allowed to have it, but you have it anyway. So you're going to have to go.
Even though they tell the contestants ahead of time
right.
that what the challenges are going to be. Mm-hmm. So they have a patriotic outfit. They have a scary zombie outfit. They have a, you know, Little Miss Pretty outfit. Nonetheless, William decided that he wanted to subvert the system yeah. and have a laptop, be able to do research on the fly and bring in his heavy artillery.
I think also maybe too, it's a, you know, you have an idea for the challenge, but then you're like, oh, it's, you know, it's completing that task and being like, do I have everything in order for all of this stuff? And maybe you do, maybe you don't.
See, if I was on that show, I would bring the same zombie outfit that some other drag queen brought and be like, oh, great. Now what am I going to do?
Who wore it better? Uh-huh. Or just kind of like, you know, befriend the drag queens and be like, what are you going to wear?
That's why you got to get like a custom wig, you know, because otherwise those wigs all look the same.
Yeah, don't get anything off the rack. Have you ever dressed up in drag, by the way?
The closest I ever got to dressing in drag is I went when I was very young. I was probably 23 years old. I went as a lesbian for Halloween.
That's wow. cute. But you didn't change anything then.
Did you make out, did you make out with women?
Actually, I got hit on by a woman at the gay bar. I went out later that night. You know, I had some padding in my backside, mm-hmm. you know, so I had kind of a big old booty and I had, you know, these big boobs and freedom rings. And then I had kind of like this mullet thing and I slicked back the sides of my hair and I was walking through the club and this little baby dyke girl reaches out and she goes, "Hey mama, come here." And I turned around and she was like, "Oh my God. Good costume."
Hey, mama.
And then she put down the bag of Doritos and started making out with you.
No, I fled.
Cool Ranch. What?
I fled.
You fled. Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be girl-on-girl rape.
We were talking before we were taping that of the phenomena of live broadcasting that you go through versus what we go through, which is taped. And you do have the option of pre-taping your interviews and even the interview that you did with the Robert Morris. I'm sorry. I'm
Morrow.
Robert Morrow. Why didn't you pre-tape that? Or what keeps you from like doing more preparation and making it live?
Well, the thing about doing live broadcasting is it's so exhilarating. I mean, because if something goes wrong, we just have to keep going. We can't just stop and say, oh, let's go back and do that again. We have to keep going. And so it's this incredible adrenaline rush. And so the only times that we pre-tape is when we've got a big celebrity that just is not available during our program. So like we pre-taped Margaret Cho. We pre-taped Fred Karger, the presidential candidate. You know, people like that who are, you know, doing other things. Jane Velez Mitchell from Headline News, you know, her show's on when our show's on, so obviously she can't, you know, do a live interview. So those are the only times we pre-tape. And I find that, you know, like, you know, the pre-show jitters, you know, when we're sitting there. I mean, you guys were there yesterday when yeah. we were about to go on the air. And you know, you're waiting for that red light to come on. And, you know, once that red light goes on, there's no turning back. I can't stop. I can't say, you know what, I'm not ready for this right now. Can we do it a little bit later? You don't want dead air. So you have to keep going. And we've had situations where like guests don't show up, or they're stuck in traffic, or, you know.
Or they faint.
Yeah, because you're kind of screwed in that sense, right? It's because with us, we were like, well, I guess we'll just wait till they get here, you know?
I had, do you guys know Jade Esteban Estrada?
Yes,
yeah,
of course.
We love him. We had him on several times, but he was supposed to be at the station at a quarter till when we were going on the air. And I called him and I'm like, hey girl, where you are? And he was like, oh, I'm in South Austin. And it was raining and, you know, traffic was terrible. And I was like, we go on the air in 5 minutes. And he was like, oh, I thought it was another hour. And so basically we had to, we call it tap dance for 45 minutes while we waited for him to finally make his way through traffic to get there, because he was our big headline guest and somebody else had dropped out. So basically we didn't have any guests. And so
that's when you just start taking your clothes off and let me entertain you.
We're going to be naked emotionally.
Too bad we don't have a webcam.
And so, you know, and sometimes you have, we had a guest, I'm not going to say who it was, this week, faint on us, and we had to edit it out. I asked him a question and it was so intense for him to be interviewed that he gasped, and his gasp made him pass out and roll his head back a little bit, you know? And I was like going, oh my God, he's going to pass out.
I thought he was
going
to pass out, but yeah, he didn't.
But he didn't. But we edited that part out. What do you guys do then?
I felt like I was going to pass out on our show. You know, when I first started doing this, you know, I kind of had to learn as I was going. And so there were a couple times where, you know, we would be going on the air and I was so incredibly nervous, and I didn't want my voice to shake and sound like I was nervous. And I worked myself up into this, you know, this tizzy basically. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to faint. And I'm like sitting there and the red light goes on, and I have, you know, as you know, we read our opening, of our script.
Your script, dossier.
Yeah, our dossier is always the same. And so once I get through that, and if I can get through that in the end of the theme song, I'm usually okay. But every once in a while, I'll give Bradley, my co-host, this look like, you know, you may have to take over because I may be laying on the ground.
I like the first time we went on your program and you were so drunk.
I don't know how drunk he was.
And smelled like alcohol. And I was like going, I was like, I like this community radio station. These girls had a party.
Okay, you are exaggerating.
Tiny bit.
I think it may be a little bit.
A little bit. The backstory there is, okay, this show started with my friend Heath. He started the show.
Yeah.
And as soon as he told me that he was going to have a radio show, I was like, I want to be on it. I want to be on it. And he was like, I was like, no, I
want to
be on it.
He didn't want you to steal his thunder.
Exactly.
But you stole it, didn't you, Blanche? You stole it.
He could tell I had really sharp elbows. But anyway, so he was like, So he got this other co-host, and well, the other co-host had to go out of town on business. And so he calls me up one day, and he's like, would you like to come on and be my guest co-host? And I was like, of course, yes, sure. And so I came on, and I did that a couple times. And then after he had been doing it about 6 months, he called me up and he said, hey, you know, you follow gay news all the time. Would you like to come on and do like a news segment at the beginning of the show? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so then after a few months of that, he let the co-host go and then made me the co-host. And so I would go in and I would be, you know, reading these things, and I'd be so nervous and excited, you know, the paper would be like this, and I would,
it's like, there's butterflies in the studio.
My voice would be wavering. And so one time he says to me, he's like, you know, maybe it would help you if you went by and had a couple of cocktails at happy hour before you came to the show and, you know, just kind of loosen you up.
So that's how it all starts.
I had permission from the boss. And so I thought, well, this is great. And so I, you know, like a couple of times went and had more than two.
And when you drink, does your East Texas accent come out more?
I don't know.
I love that East Texas accent.
Like Bradley's my co-host.
I do.
And he's adorable.
He's real cute.
Yeah, he's adorable.
He's the beauty, you're the brains. Or is it the other way around?
Well, he's got a lot of brains too, but
he's funny.
He's definitely the pretty one.
I like his he had a Rick Perry story. What him and Rick Perry got into an elevator.
No, that was my story.
Was that yours?
Yeah, that's my story.
What was it? Explain that story again. You got into an elevator with Rick Perry.
Okay, so back in 1998, Rick Perry was running for lieutenant governor. George Bush was our governor at the time.
Yeah.
And he was running against this guy named John Sharp, who used to be the controller of the state of Texas, or the state treasurer, basically, or, you know, the guy who controls all the money. And John Sharp was, you know, true to his name, a very sharp man. And Rick Perry was this, you know, faux cowboy, you know, conservative guy. And so part of my day job is I call on law firms. And so I'm in and out of office towers all day long. And, you know, it back, you know, in the 90s, I was a young, cute gay. And I used to get hit on by older men, you know, when I'd go to the bar. And so I was very...
Yeah, I can see you as being Texas chicken.
Texas, mm-hmm. Yeah, fried.
Fried chicken.
Barbecued.
Barbecued chicken.
But so, you know, I was used to being hit on by older gay men, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, it's very, you know when you're being hit on. So I'm in this building, and I've hit the down button on the elevator, and I'm on like the 8th floor, and the door's open, and there's Rick Perry standing there with one of his aides. And I get on, and I'm like, oh, I can't believe this guy. I hate this guy. And so he turns to me and he's like, hey, how are you doing? And I just looked at him and I went, you know what? I hope John Sharp wipes the floor with your ass. and he just got this look on his face. And then the elevator went 7, 6, 5, 4. And it was the longest, most awkward 30 seconds of my life. And I was like, why didn't I wait till it was on the second floor to turn to him to say that? And so then finally the door, you know, we got to the first floor in the lobby. And then I was like, open, 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 open. I couldn't get off the elevator
fast
enough.
And you both came off.
And he was just standing there like, you know, like with this look on his face, like, you know, what?
Well, you just cock blocked him. You just shot him down.
Well, wasn't it Bradley said he got into an elevator and Rick Perry turned to him and said, 4, please. That was so funny. Because mm-hmm. I thought he was going to say foreplay or something like that. Madonna has crossed the picket line in the fight for gay rights in Russia, sort of. So if you remember, in recent years, Madonna and a lot of these big name celebrities, they don't make money from their music. They make money from their performances, their concerts, their t-shirt, their merchandise. And for these lucrative little private concerts they give for oligarchs in other countries, they entertain dictators. And most well-known documented case is Beyonce performing for Gaddafi, mm-hmm. and finding herself succumbing to public pressure to give the money back to a charity.
She gave it to Haiti, I believe, right?
She gave it to Haiti. So Madonna, she's not canceling her upcoming show in St. Petersburg, but is now vowing to join the fight for gay rights in Russia. This is in her own words. I will come to St. Petersburg to speak up for the gay community and to give strength and inspiration to anyone who feels oppressed. I'm a freedom fighter. I don't run away from adversity. I will speak during my show about this ridiculous atrocity.
So my question is, when she's speaking up for the gay community, is she going to use her Detroit accent or her English accent?
Well, she'll be in Russia, so maybe she'll have a Muscovite accent. I have no idea.
I like that Madonna kind of like soaks up the local lingo like a biscuit and gopher gravy.
Well, I mean, think about who's going to be at her concert. It's going to be a bunch of gay guys. So it's like, I don't know, why not? You know, it's funny too, with the Olympics, you know, last year at the Winter Olympics or a few years ago in Vancouver, they had a pride house for the gay athletes. Well, they have the next Winter Olympics is in Russia, and they said no to the pride house. Even though the people from the Olympics like believe in equality, there's going to be no pride house. So I don't know. I say the gays, we should just boycott the Olympics. You know, especially because they're all going to be in clothes. You know, they're not going to be naked like the swim team.
Well, Russia's in a complete state of backsliding right mm-hmm. now anyway. I mean, you know, Putin just apparently stole that election where they were stuffing all the ballot boxes, mm-hmm. you know. And it was his idea to put up webcams to prove how legitimate it was. And all his webcams caught all those people stuffing Putin ballots into the ballot box.
Oh my God!
But you know he clamps down on journalists. There's no way a show like yours could be produced in Russia.
But Russians listen to this program, which I think is interesting.
I know. You know,
mm-hmm. At least today's show is actually Russians are listening to. So this is actually you know, our program today is actually made possible by the financial support of people who subscribe to Feast of Fun Plus. You can get Feast of Fun 5 days a week in your portable music playing device, like an iPod, iPhone, or Dell Music Player, if such thing exists.
anymore. And you can also do so by going to feastoffun.com/plus and try it out and see what you get.
You know, it's funny you say that because our program is made possible by the good people at Stolichnaya.
Oh, really? Booze? Really? They don't support you guys, do they?
No,
the booze.
But we like vodka.
Cassio Magalese from the UK wants to know, Fausto, since you're so good at Photoshop, is this photo photoshopped?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
So there's it's a photo of a guy with a very large member,
mm-hmm.
and I can just from the distance, it's photoshopped.
Here, can I see it again?
Yeah, we're all like, let's look at the big dick.
It's a big dick.
Let me actually zoom in on it, because that's usually... One thing you can do, Cassio, if you want to like determine what artifacts are, it could be, it looks like it's been made big. I'm guessing that the edge of the penis is a little blurrier than the edge of the man's torso. So my guess is that it is his penis, but it's been cropped out and then pasted on top of it and zoomed in to look bigger. Mm. And proportionately, it just looks...
I mean, that's like a size of somebody's like lower leg.
His testicles are the size of his fist, which I think is a little bit... he probably would have cancer if his testicles were that big. You can have a big dick, but having big testicles means you have a medical problem.
I mean, if this thing was hard, it would probably be like 15 inches.
Yeah. I strongly doubt that's a real thing. But based on an anatomical comparison here.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know why he would shave his pubes like that. I don't know.
He wanted it to look bigger.
Is that what it is? Sure, well, you can trim, but you don't have to get rid of all of it. Well, some people like that. Yeah. Whatever floats your boat. I don't want to judge.
Jackie Beat just came out with her song, Give Me All Your Blood, mm-hmm. her parody of Madonna, Give Me All Your Love. And in it, is she like making out with a real goat and a real baby?
I think she does that a lot, doesn't she? It seems like it'd be like a normal day at Jackie's house. Make out with a goat, kiss a baby.
It ends covered in blood and she's drenched. You say you guys won't have Jackie Beat on your show because you're terrified she's going to violate your FCC rules.
Not to be put
she's
on the
banned,
spot.
She's banned off your show.
No, she is not banned off our show. we just haven't been able to get through to Jackie's people.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
find
Jackie
on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/
pick up your
the
face,
one and only Jackie
Beat. From the pillow. Turn your head, look at the look at the phone, answer the phone calls. Poor girl. Listen, I like the video. It's a little bit edgy, but you got to give hats off to Jackie Beat for the delicious puns that she has.
The wonderful cinematography by Austin Young.
Yeah, it's just really remarkable stuff. And Stephen Rice, we're running out of time. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And you actually do podcast all your episodes.
Yes, we do.
And for free.
Yes, we do.
So for the people who are too stingy to listen to this show 5 days a week, we recommend you listen to Outcast Austin and get some down-home flavoring into your iPod or iPod accessories.
Yeah.
And how do they do that? Like they search on iTunes, Outcast Austin, right?
Outcast Austin on iTunes. Our website is www.outcastaustin.com. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/outcastaustin.
And we were on your show talking about the William and other stuff, and also John Cameron Mitchell's explosive appearance at Gay by Gay Gay Music Festival. And that's going to be available later this week, right?
Yes.
Okay. Not right now, though.
Not right now, because our associate producer just did the Outlander Music Festival that coincided with South by Southwest. And so he basically ran a 4-day all-gay showcase music festival. And he's the one who's in charge of getting our stuff up on the web. And I have to forgive him for being a little tired after this last...
that's Chase Martin,
Chase.
Right?
Yeah, Chase Martin.
Chase Martin's been remarkable and just beautiful and wonderful and taking so many gorgeous photos of our meetup and everybody. He's a community.
He's an incredible asset to the community. We're very lucky to have him on our show. I love him dearly. He does all the web design for therepublic.com. That's with a Q. He does outcastaustin.com. He single-handedly chronicles every gay event in town, takes all these pictures, puts them up on the web. He's an incredible asset for our community, and we're very, very lucky to have him.
And you owe him a blowjob.
Yeah, well, except for if you're Rick Perry. Mm-hmm. He's the one person, gay man in Texas, that hasn't slept with Rick Perry yet. Stephen Rice, it's a pleasure.
Thanks, thank you guys so much for having me. I love you guys, and please come back on our show anytime.
Anytime. I'm moving into your house. We're going to leave you here with, of course, Jackie Beat, Give Me All Your Blood. It's not available on iTunes, but you can watch it on our site, feastoffun.com. We thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you or hear you again next week. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everybody.
A hottie, thanks to the Illuminati. I still look young and everybody wants to know my tricks. I pray to a demon. I suck the life force right out of my boyfriend's dick. I drink devil semen. I still look 29 and here's the reason why. I drink it while it is still hot. A virgin's blood is best, so open up your chest to me.
Your soul!